Welcome to the CBS and Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss Daniel Cosgrove joining As the World Turns, Bill and Katie get married on The Bold and the Beautiful, could Deacon and Phyllis be Y&R's next big couple, and Sammy finds out her child is alive on Days of Our Lives. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Mike, welcome.
Hi there.
Mel, welcome.
Hey.
Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
Bueno.
Well, let's discuss what we were just discussing before we started. Y&R, Michelle Stafford, Sean Kanan as Phyllis and Deacon. Hot, hot, hot stuff. Jillian, what'd you think?
Oh, the chemistry was blazing. I'm like, sorry, fic fans, as they call themselves, but Deacon and Phyllis are like smoking. They were. And of course, you know, somebody was trying to be all Debbie Downer, saying, not the person on DC named Debbie Downer, but someone was just acting like a buzzkill. Do you really think that Phyllis is going to be with the man that tried to frame her son? I'm like, oh God. I'm like,
that's a soap. It wouldn't matter.
I know.
Exactly.
Like, it would make it hotter.
You know, I'm like, does Jamie love to point out Carl Hutchins tried to ice Rachel and they were hot coming to the end of that show? So that don't mean nothing. Hell, Phyllis ran over Paul, even though he don't know that. But does he know that? No.
No, he doesn't know it.
No, but you know, they cool. I'm like, give me a break. They can be hot. They were smoking. They keep tapping that chemistry. Y&R, if you had any sense, cue laugh line there, you would try that pairing because they're smoking. I'm like, damn, he and Big Shell have some good chemistry. I'm
yes,
like,
they do.
They do. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I know Nick and Phyllis fans are going to get mad, but to me, Nick and Phyllis have run their course with the back again. I'm good. I'm bad. I'm good. You know, Nick's left me. I've left Nick. Nick's screwing around with the housekeeper. It's like, it's enough already. They ran their course, and that pairing could have been hot, but alas, they're not.
Jamie, what'd you think?
Well, you have two smoking hot actors. You're going to have chemistry. Yeah. Y&R is so plot-driven right now that I don't think they're dealing with any chemistry testing. It's whatever they already have on the page is what they're going to go with. I mean, that's why we don't see Billy and Chloe looking like they're going to be the end game or any of these chemical reactions that we've spied. We don't see that because they're just, it's like they've got their playbook out, it's written out, and that's what they're going by. So I mean, I don't know. Wonk wonk.
Well, speaking of playbooks, we discussed this on the Performer of the Week episode, but Mac offered to be the surrogate for Kane and Lily, and this week she got in a fight with Billy, and then basically appears they've broken up, and she goes to Kane and Lily and said, I'm still doing it. Mel, what'd you think?
That's what I thought of that. Oh, God.
That was a fight?
I know, right?
Down, did you? Everything was, I'm going to do what I want to, okay? This is like what you did with Restless Style, Billy.
Oh!
Something I believe in, Billy. And I'm like, you just compared having a child for someone else to a magazine. Did you eat some glue when you were little? Like,
yeah.
I just don't understand this baby. Same emotion for everything. I'm tired of it. I'm over. The only good thing about Mac being in Kane and Lily's storyline is that I can fast forward all three of them at the same time.
good point.
That's the only good thing about it is just,
I never thought of that. That's a good one. Yeah, hell yeah.
This would be the definition of a snory line.
A snory line. Nice one. Well, it reminds me of General Hospital when they paired Emily with Sunny. I could not only fast forward the boring Emily at that point, but also Sunny as well.
You know how they say killing two birds with one stone? Well, this is killing three birds with one stone.
Exactly.
We just get rid of all three of them. Just hit it.
That story will be played 5 days a week. You mark my words, just like Cricket used to have 7 boyfriends, that Lily in this story will be on 5 days a week and twice on Sunday. You mark my words.
It's already started because he's already giving Mac jewelry.
Mac has been on every date this week.
They're going to make me hate Kane and Lily again.
Well, they've already
made me hate. I started liking them.
Well, they've already made me hate Kane. When Billy is like, no, you can't have my girlfriend's uterus. And he's like, I know you're mad at me because your mom thought I was a better son than you. Billy should have flipped his ass over in that bar and whooped his ass. I'm sorry. I don't blame Billy for being mad. Kane participated in identity theft and defrauding that entire family on who he is. And they can forgive him, but Billy wrote an expose outing the shit that Victor's done, and he's vilified? That picture is just all shades of wrong. I don't know what YNR is doing. People are asking me, why are they doing this to Billy? I don't know. I'm all stunned and bamboozled like y'all. I'm like, what is going on? I don't like it. They've already started making me hate it. It's just blah, 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 blah. Y'all gonna have that girl on with them, but those three people, it's gonna be boring. Boring. I'm just gearing. My fast forward button is just being geared up. I'm testing that sucker out right now.
Mike, what'd you think of it?
Well, what else is there to say? Seriously.
Okay, then let's move on.
No, Mel and Jillian covered pretty much the whole gamut of anything that needs to be commented about that subject.
What'd you think of Amber's wedding?
Thank you, Jillian. Thank you.
The best part about Amber's wedding was Phyllis in her face.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Lauren trying to make Phyllis act right. That was funny, too.
Michelle Stafford has great comedic timing. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. It was okay. I mean, it's not the wedding that I would have picked for them. And I was really surprised that they even got married as quickly as they did. Oh. It seems to me they have a lot of issues to work out, and getting married is not on top of their list.
Well, now when he's in jail, they'll get to do the conjugal visit and work him out there.
I think Daniel's going to be...
I like the wedding. I thought it was cute, quirky,
and too.
Fit their storyline.
Yeah, we know you did. I didn't.
I thought it was good. I thought Phyllis rushing over there at the last... I thought all of it...
Out of breath, going up the stairs.
She's all... you can't,
at least nobody had on those tacky pink dresses like those girls on the
boat. Oh, we will get to that. I do not understand how a fashion house can have those awful things.
We will go there.
My prom is Brandy going to be singing. I want to be down.
As I was watching
this 1994. Dang.
As I was watching Amber and Daniel's wedding, one of the things that I liked the most about it was having Catherine be the person who married them. And it was sort of cool to see that she would do that. But at the same time, it's like, I wonder if I should try seeing if I can't get ordained.
Don't you have to put your social security on stuff like that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do not believe for one minute a billionaire like Catherine Chancellor, Sterling, whatever this man's name is.
Murphy
is gonna log on to some computer and put all her personal information for these teen ruckamucks. 20-something ruckamucks. I'm sorry, and I love that quartet, but sometimes it's like Catherine is just their mascot or something. Catherine is a billionaire. Why is she up on this cold-ass roof? They need to Catherine needs to act like a real old lady. Be like, I don't want to be up here. Shit, it's cold.
I know.
Your habits ticked. Because
we know Victor Newman. If they were like, yo, Victor, can you officiate? I'm not going to do that shit. Get out of here.
I'm trying to get my information on the... I would punch you in the face.
Meanwhile, I brought that up on Twitter. Technically, now, Amber is sort of kind of in the Newman family. So, when Aaron Brain comes back, that's going to be interesting as hell, considering that girl went rogue. I'm going to ease up on her because that girl went rogue. It was like, you need to take that to the house and quit bitching.
I stood up and cheered, Adrian, when I read that on my computer. I'm like, go ahead. Why? You know, it's a free country. Why everybody got to be scared to say something about Eric Brain?
Why is she not going to be on screen for the next couple of months when he comes
back?
Bella snatch her back too.
I loved her. Get her on B&B and we can get rid of a whole bunch of people. Her and Deke go back there. Oh, that would be fantastic. Jamie, this last week, Tom Bierce spoke out about his departure from YNR. What'd you think?
You know, after getting over his initial appearances and, you know, being shocked at the acting and the writing, he kind of gelled for me. And I really feel that the brass at The Young and the Restless ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Wow.
I feel that Maria allowed all of this press, Advocate out, my hometown newspaper, did a story. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't. But, you know, all this press and all this After Elton coverage and all this goings on, and then nothing. Basically, according to The Young and the Restless, gay characters on soaps are A, really straight and just seduce little Latino boys so that they don't have to go to jail. B, so hung up on their blind crush that they would let their aunt go to the big house.
Is she still in jail?
Yes!
She is. She is.
That boy was like, I'll bend you over. He was like, okay! Auntie Tia! Andale! Vamos! You know. Or C, they're douchebags who will fake their own deaths, leave their child orphan, leave a weeping widow, all because they assume their mom and stepmother are going to be homophobic when they never gave them any inclination that they would be. These are the three gay portrayals. And I would never think I would say this, but I owe Ellen Wheeler an apology for giving her the hell that I gave her about Otalia. Because Otalia, at its worst, with the, you know, not letting them show affection, was at least a beautiful love story. You know, they could have at least had Philip hook up with Rafe and, you know, do something positive near the end. But no, they got all that free publicity for nothing, for absolutely nothing. Maria Arena Bells, YNR, I have to say, gets a F- in terms of any type of diversity. That she's backburned all the black characters except for Crystal Khalil. The gay storylines have been laughable. I mean, I really feel like we were set up. We, you know, we cheered her on. The show was good. And it wasn't false cheering. I mean, there was a reason to cheer this show. But this story, yeah, it's been bad. It's like, and, you know, here lately it's gotten better, but it's still just like plot, 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 plot. They, you know, there are no character moments. And, Tom, you know, he's fighting the good fight. I get a Facebook message every day. Please help us keep Tom Beard's phone. I'm like, in this day and age and daytime, I'm over that. Don't fight for a role that doesn't do you any justice. Go and find you a film crew and a writer and create your own web show about a 50-year-old art gallery curator gay guy that falls in love with a young artist, and to do it as a web show. You can take back the power. Do what Tyler Perry did. I mean, I'm not a fan of a lot of Tyler Perry's works, but
no.
He didn't sit around and wait for Hollywood to keep rejecting you and you know, suits to tell you your story doesn't work. Just do your own projects. Look what Crystal, I mean, yeah, they're doing stuff to pay the bills, but Tom didn't need soaps to pay the bills because he was already doing stuff. I think he should go do a web show. Get someone to write him a really smart web series, you know, a True to Life maybe, a Rome on a Clef. I mean, I'd just rather see that than to see him beg these people to bring him back so they can ride him badly again. I mean, it's daytime really frustrates me. I mean, no, I know that's really a shocker. But it's like, you know, I mean, they're just sorry. You know, they don't know, maybe they don't know any gay people. They don't know anybody outside of Hollywood people, I guess. They sit around and they think that, oh, let's blind the gay boy on As the World Turns. These are not stories. The stories are human life. Just, you know, yes, you heighten it, but Yeah, I mean, no, I actually don't want to see YNR attempt another gay story. I just don't think they know what they're doing with that. So,
I was going to say, you know, why bring Beards back if you're not going to utilize him? Phillip should have stayed dead, and Kane should have just been busted as an imposter. I understand Maria may have, and this is just my thought, not... You know, she might, this is something that I've, this is my thoughts, nothing I've read or heard, but I guess she's trying to follow her father-in-law's format and want to correct something he regretted doing in the first place. And she also wants to erase LML's huge rewrite. I respect that. However, there must have been a good reason why Bill Bell Sr. said, oh, I'm going to keep him dead. Even though I regret doing this, she should have left it alone and moved forward. She could have caught Kane in being an imposter by using that opening LML did with him being on the phone with that alleged Uncle Langley. I mean, we all knew the writing was on the wall when Scott Hamner, she tried to like cover up Scott's boo-boo in the press. He did tip us off that YNR is not interested in Phillip being paired with anyone, and Maria tried to do damage control, but Hamner already put it out there, and it created frictions for fans. Next time, you know, Maria, if you don't want Scott to tell people that the storyline's a bust and we're getting rid of the guy.
Well, just don't promise all of it. Yeah, don't give exactly. All these damn interviews promoting it and pimping it and then giving nothing. I mean, say what people will about Brian Franz. He is letting Kish go to the limit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Next time
like,
you should.
Why did you even do that? Nobody wants to see that shit anymore. I'm sorry. Black people would stand up and storm the studios if every time a black couple kissed, they had to cut the damn shot. It's not right, and it's not acceptable that gay people should have to feel that way when they watch these shows, like it's something that is dirty and shameful. It's not right, and just don't do it. Don't tell a gay story if you're not going to let them kiss on screen. Don't tell a gay story if you're going to trumpet it out to the press to get a bunch of buzz, to get it, because you know, obviously, that the gay dollar is an expensive dollar, or, you know, that's redundant.
A valuable
dollar. The gay dollar is a valuable dollar, and you want to get that gay press, but you don't want to follow through with the story.
Right.
Just don't do anybody any favors. Just stick to what YNR seems to know best, which is dead babies and
corporate intrigue.
Edgar Allan Poe stuff. No, this
corporate intrigue. What corporate intrigue?
No corporate intrigue anymore.
Yeah.
Well, my bad.
The telltale heart. I mean, rip somebody's heart out and have it beat.
I mean,
it's all part of them trying to one up B&B because they're basically telling the same stories.
Oh, I don't think they're caring about one up and B&B is a side soap that's basically a telenovela for the people overseas to think that's how wealthy Californians live. That's how Brad Bell is writing that show.
Next time, I'm saying, you know, next time Scott Hamner needs to shut his pie hole and write better storylines instead of dusting off his old scripts.
I know, you know what? It's not even about Scott. Maria is the boss. It's time to put the,
she
was our Auntie Riri.
Saying she tipped us off and Maria tried to, like, tech to me, I think Maria threw him under the bus when she was like, oh, he misspoke. No, Scott Hamner tipped us off and was like, no, we're not invested in that. Sorry. She tried to backpedal, but it is what it is. But, you know, Tom Beards let us know. I mean, he's pimping and promoting the show everywhere. For what, you know?
Tom, do a web soap. Do a web soap. Make yourself this hot gay art curator and have Michael Grazadeh play your twink lawyer. I mean, gay artist, and just do a web soap.
Do you think the portrayal, you know, everybody, we all criticized his portrayal when he first came back. Do you think his portrayal is because of the storyline that he got, that he wasn't motivated?
No, he was rusty. He was rusty. No, I love Tom. I think he's a great guy. You know, Luke and Mike interviewed Tom, but he was very rusty, and the story was bad. And that combination, you know, when they were setting this up and working out this deal, someone should have thought, maybe we might better have Homeboy do some acting lessons, because it's been a while since he's been in the game. And to be honest, even back in the day, he was never really known for being a breakout actor. I mean, and I'm not dissing him. I think he knows that. It's just like, you know, I think they should have had him, you know, do a few acting classes because they knew that he was popular. I mean, the boy was in Tiger Beat and stuff like that. So you make sure that his acting isn't rusty when you bring him back. But the story, I'm sorry, Kim Zimmer could not have sold that story. I killed myself because I was thinking y'all were going to be homophobic. Well, son, did we ever call the gardener a filthy homo? No. Well, did you ever hear us say we hate that Little Richard? No. Well, why the hell did you think we were going to be homophobes? We're drag queens, for God's sakes. Do you see how many diamonds Catherine wears? I mean, seriously, what made him think they would be homophobic?
You have Brenda never heard Jill.
When he died, wasn't she? No, it
yeah.
was
yeah.
Well,
she's a drag queen. His mother was a drag queen. She has a penis.
No.
Okay. On that note, I hate to cut this short, but Mike, I understand that you have to leave us early today. So before we move on to B&B, thank you for joining us and be back
next
week.
Have a good one.
Yep.
Okay.
Mike. Later, Mike.
Bye.
So, Jillian, what'd you think of Bill and Katie getting married on B&B last week?
Oh my God! I said it on Twitter. The wedding in that ghetto park was just, I'm sorry. I know that's what, that park didn't look like a park. It looked like a crack den. It looked like an old crack den. And Bill Spencer, once again, it's like, I guess they're trying to do this whole rage against the
He looked like Boss Hogg.
Let me finish, please, please. I mean, like, I guess they're trying to do this whole, he's doing this whole rage against society by not dressing like a suit. He's that cool cat that doesn't dress like a suit, but he will take your company in a second. He looked like a Chippendale dancer with that all white fucking thing on. I'm sorry. It was, the wedding was, just wanted to hit myself over the head.
I saw him and I thought to myself, okay.
The full Monty?
I thought Boss Hogg, because like in the movie, Burt Reynolds plays Boss Hogg and he's tall and portly and a beard. Well,
No. I'm a cut for Don Diamont. He is not portly, number one.
No, but that's what I'm saying. In the television show, the actor was portly, but in the movie for the Dukes of Hazzard, Burt Reynolds played it and he was not portly. So they had a tall guy in white suits running around. It is like, all I could think was Boss Hogg when I saw Dollar Bill. And then on top of it, you had those two bridesmaid dresses. These women are supposed to be members of a family that are known for being the epitome of fashion.
Well,
and they
have
something
that
looks like a 50s dress.
Well, you heard them say Ridge designed it. Look, I'm going to be real here. B&B has never had, like, since I've been watching the show, which is since the day of time, they've never had anything I was like, ooh. I wonder where you can get that from. It's like, ooh, I wonder where you do not get that from. They've never had any good frocks. When they do the Forster Showdown and Jackie M and Spectra, they've never had anything that I've said to myself, oh, that looks really nice. I want to get that. They've always been tacky. So to me, I thought the dresses were tacky. I didn't like the wedding at all. The only thing that was kind of was kind of funny was during the wedding,
Stephanie and Eric were the best thing about the whole thing.
Well, they were, yeah. Stephanie, again, it's the schizo writing. It's the schizo writing because before, you know, Stephanie would pigeonhole Katie with Donna and Brooke. And then all of a sudden, you know, I've always liked her out of those Logan girls. I always thought she was the sweet one, this and that. I'm like, okay, that's the schizo writing, but they're bringing it back to basics with that sort of kind of, because Stephanie really
Think that's schizo writing. She likes Katie. They've bonded, but at the end of the day, when she's pissed off, you know how that is. It's like if your family is at a war with someone, you can be like, okay, out of that family, I like that one, but when you get mad, it's like, fuck all y'all bitches. You know?
It wasn't like that for me when Stephanie was mad. It was just a little bit like, you know, she's a whore. They're all whores. And I'm like, what? Okay. But, you know, I like that scene where Stephanie's sitting down and Eric being a pig. I thought she was just being a greedy old pig sitting down, sucking down that food. I thought Stephanie was on point when he's like, yeah, I'm not going to support a wedding that Katie helped Bill take over my company. And Stephanie was like, no, that girl didn't help Bill take over nothing. He's pretty much using her as a puppet, which is true, but it ain't Katie's fault that Eric is a quote unquote good designer, but a sucky ass businessman. You know what I mean? Like, not her
well,
fault.
Well, Katie's a disloyal puta. Oh, I mean, the fact that she, you know, they brought that little thing in there to run the PR office, and then she set up and let him do that. I mean, I could see them being really mad at her, but Brad Bell tickles me because this was just a frat boy feast for him. Writing those scenes where the three Logan girls are in their panties.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down on the bed. I bet you he directed that on the set. I mean, he was having a ball. Just the three middle-aged women giggling. I started, they should have went in slow motion.
Pillow fight. Did they even have a pillow fight? No. They should have just had a pillow fight.
Next
and then
we're
going to
do each other's hair and prank call.
One of them
should have
brought some whipped cream and honey in there. I mean, I was like, is this the Playboy Mansion? Come on, Brad. But,
yeah, it was. It was bad.
Bill Spencer's tuxedo.
Oh!
Yeah, we
say it, Jamie. Say it. We said it.
Tacky pimp daddy.
He looked like a Chippendale dancer. He looked like a Chippendale dancer.
He looked like he was fit to go on the corner and ask one of those, bitch, you got my money. He looked like a pimp.
My money, yes.
A pimp.
Luke
pimp
I think he looked like Boss Hogg.
Well, Boss Hogg was a hell of a pimp. I mean, he was a pimp.
That's true. That is true.
But and it was just
tacky pink dresses. I mean, what was that? Was that taffeta?
I don't know. But like I was telling, you know, I was telling Luke, you know, he said the Forresters are synonymous. He basically said the Forresters are synonymous with style and elegance. Since I've been watching the show, I've never seen any of them dresses where I'm like, I got to get that. I've always thought, ugh. I've always said that. I'm like, ugh, another tacky dress that we're supposed to believe that someone wants to go out and go buy on all sides, I would say it. So that didn't shock me. But
Katie's wardrobe, since she's become corporate, has been the best that they've done.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you, I agree with that. But
yeah.
Bill
now,
Spencer.
Back in the day, Brooke used to have a tight wardrobe, but not here lately, no.
Oh, it's been terrible.
She's been a little hit or miss, but Bill should have been in a, with that Don Diamant's coloring, he should have been in a fly.
I'm just glad this is a soap. Used to, when I was a kid, I used to wish soaps were like real life, you know, because you'd want the world to be that way, except for the, you know, I mean, you want people to come back from the dead because you don't want anybody to die. But I'm just going to be real. Like, I am so glad this is a fictional world where he is not the head of the world's most preeminent fashion Bible, dressing like a pimp. A pimp who wears tight jeans, he would be adjusting his crotch at a family reunion. Oh, excuse me, y'all. I mean, that is, this is the, his fashion sense. He wouldn't be able to run, you know, TMZ in terms. I mean, I'm sorry. This is just.
To me, I think they're trying to portray him as, you know, this person, I'm raging against society. You know, I'm not going to wear a suit and tie. But don't underestimate me because I'm going to get you.
You're
going to
see what's raging if he keeps wearing those tight pants like that.
And meanwhile, Steffi and that kiss. I will give them this. I am glad that, you know, they didn't do something where Bill was like, Steffi, we have to fight these feelings. And she's like, what's between us? He shut it down. I love that. He's like, what feelings? What are you talking about? You kissed me, ain't you know? No big deal.
Well, they need to have her go psycho and just go.
They don't know what to do with her. They don't know what to do with her. They don't know what to do with that girl.
They need to write her off and bring Adrian Franz back is what they need to do.
They don't know who to put this girl with because she's related to everyone. They need to recast her or bring in someone that, you know, can be a love interest. They need to recast Texas Battle. Yes, I will say that until I'm blue in the face. They need to recast that role. They don't know what to do with that girl. Like, she's one minute she's into, out of nowhere, she's into Owen. The next minute, Rick. And they don't even talk about it. Like, we didn't even see a breakup with her and Rick. Not that I mind that, but it's just all over the place. Meanwhile, I don't know. I just had this thought. Do you think, now, I want to get your take on this. This is just a thought. Do you think that Brad Bell is going to do the impossible and the unthinkable and have Sarah Brown paired up with Kyle Lauda for a minute?
I hadn't even seen Kyle Lauder on the show in weeks.
No, but I mean, yeah, we haven't seen it, but that don't mean, you know, he won't be back. You know what I mean?
No, they're not going to waste that girl. They're putting her with the heavyweights. They're putting her with Jack Wagner.
Jack Wagner. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did waste
Goonie.
They are wasting Rick Hurst, so you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, true. Well, but at the same time, Windsor Harbin re-signed it for another 4 years.
Well, what's funny to me is that, from what I hear, Sarah was really, well, not even here. She's done it out loud. She was so upset with GH. Honey, you don't know what you just got yourself into.
And she's got a 2-year deal, right?
If you were upset with the storylines at General Hospital, let me just go ahead and prepare the blog post for when she speaks out about the writing on this show.
Yeah,
maybe they let her go down to Hall and be Victoria.
yeah. You pull a Claudia and kidnap her and throw her back over to B&B and pop up and be like, "Hey, Dad, Victoria, what are you doing?" You know what I'm saying? I'll be down with that. But I just thought, you know, Kyle Lauder, you know, we know how Brad Bell will do. You never know. Next thing you know, Sandy and Rick, the greatest love story ever told. Ugh.
Well, and you write the spoilers for Daytime Confidential for B&B. What is going to happen with her and Nick and Bridget? Because obviously she's being a little underhanded.
I don't know what her motive is. We all know that Sandy's look a little – that ain't even her government name. Her government name is what, Agnes or something? And I think they're going to put her in Rick Hurst's orbit. Thank God. They're going to put her in his orbit where he's like, "Don't I know you?" And she's like, "No, I don't know you. Well, I don't know what you're talking about." And, you know, she's going to be carrying a secret. I don't know what the secret is.
She was a mob princess in Port Charles, New York.
Her secret is she didn't join As the World Turns, like Daniel Cosgrove did.
Stop.
Mel, what do you think?
Stop.
Why, Jesus, why?
Luke Kerr will be performing in
Poughkeepsie, stop!
That's what I thought. I had to take Jillian's phrase. Why, Jesus, why?
Bring your own dinner! I'll be taking the money at the door.
Pardon me, Mel.
He just got off a canceled show, and everybody know As the World Turns is fixing to be gone in a little bit, and you went to another one. You couldn't work nothing. I would One Life to Live. Okay, now that I've gotten that out, we'll see how it goes. I do like Daniel Cosgrove as an actor, and I'm happy to see him, you know, get another job.
Is he going to be this doctor that is gonna
He's gonna be Chris
with...
Hughes.
No, I'm joking.
No, I'm joking.
There's supposed to be some new doctor that falls in love with Luke while he's supposed to be treating Noah's bad eyes. Cosgrove is just gonna be the next 13-week
barge.
Yeah, the next 13-week, you know, get in between Luke and Noah.
I don't know, like,
to play doctor.
They ain't going to play nothing. They're just going to keep giving them those masculine man kisses that football players give that aren't sexy as nothing and keep doing that for 3 months.
Mel, what were you saying?
He just got off a canceled show. And happy that he found work, but he's going to have to do something else because As the World Turns, they don't have long left.
Well, I read somewhere. No, sorry. Go ahead, Luke.
Well, I was just going to say Tom Pelfrey debuted too, so he just came from Guiding Light this last week as well. What'd you think?
It's still early for me to be giving my opinions, but for right now, the story is As the World Turns is jumping the shark once again.
What I missed? What?
It's Tom Pelfrey is coming on as a kid. Number one, he first showed up in the basement of the hospital in a stairwell talking to Allison, like, "Well, how can I get out of here?" It's like, okay, weird. Then he goes to Paul and Emily because they have a lot of money and because he has discovered the fountain of youth, so to speak. So he pours the stuff on the plant and then all of a sudden it comes back to life. And you're like, oh, Jesus, why As the World Turns?
Talk with Jesus.
How you say, Jamie? The next thing you know, you'll see a soap opera set to the dude of Phil Collins. Like, it's coming.
It's coming for you.
Oh, no, it won't be Phil Collins. It'll be Ellen Wheeler's cousin, Philomena Wheeler. Hello, Pat.
Philomena Wheeler.
It's going to be called Happiness in a Field. Happiness in a Field.
Love can save the meadow.
And then everybody's eyes will turn black like the people on True Blood.
I was gonna say
As the World Turns has been on fire lately.
It has.
I groaned my ass off. The stuff with the Snyders, Meg being a little scheming evil.
Not Meg. Oh,
that's been good.
That's good.
I'm enjoying Jack's journey. You know, Jack's journey is very, you know, Odyssey to me, like the Odyssey or the Iliad. It's, you know, this is storytelling. Taking this man on this journey through his past, basically, to find redemption for Katie. I've enjoyed all of that. And then you have Tom Pelfrey debut, and he makes that damn flower turn back alive. And I'm like, no, stop. You've already got the ghost of Brad. Supernatural is not the way to save this show, Christopher Gautman. You destroyed another world with that Lumina bullshit, and you will do it again. Stop. Just stop. You can stop now. It's not too late. Don't go down the supernatural route. You are not James E. Reilly. You cannot do it. You don't know what you're doing. You're just a hack actor who made good. Just stop. Just stop before you wreck this show. The people who are obsessed with this show, who have loved Lisa Miller since she was a scheming housewife who hired someone to do her laundry because she didn't want Dr. Bob to know she's not a good housewife, do not want to see Fountains of Youth and crap like that in Oakdale. They don't. That is not what's going to save this show. The stuff with the Snyders is real American Family stuff that people love As the World Turns for. They do not want this supernatural stuff on a show that has a budget that my credit card could pay for. I'm sorry. You can't do supernatural without special effects. You can't do supernatural without a budget. Stop. Just stop now. Just do like Gloria Monty did when she came to GH. She threw all the shit out. You throw your own shit out. Just stop. I'm telling you, just stop. Mark my word. Everything good you're doing with the Snyders will be undone if you continue down this ridiculous path with this stupid story. And I do know where it's going, but I'm not going to ruin the story. It's stupid. It's beyond stupid.
Mel, speaking of the Snyder story, I mean, Jamie brought it up earlier, Jack going on his quest and Carly following after him. She's following after him, but that was after she basically ho-checked Craig and Rosanna.
She more than ho-checked Craig and Rosanna. She did work on Craig and Rosanna. She threw it down. She had the fools arrested. Carly was like, that's what you get for messing with Carly City. I loved it, loved it, loved it. You could tell As World Turns was going back down that familiar track of Jack and Carly, with Carly trying to find, chasing Jack everywhere, and Jack not answering. I almost called her Julia, y'all. What is her name? Janet.
Juicy.
not answering Janet's
Juicy
calls.
Juicy Couture.
But I do like Jack going around town, going around the country or wherever, trying to help Katie, quote unquote, but really helping himself. Like, that story is more than just him helping Katie. So I do like that.
What do you think of the dynamic that, because it's been pointed out that Carly's saving Jack instead of Jack always saving her? What do you think of that?
It's about damn time. That's what I think, because it's always Jack save a Carly, Jack save a Carly. Well, let Carly be on the other end this time, because it's time. It's time for the roles to be reversed.
And maybe Carly could ho-check him like how he always liked to ho-check Carly. It'd be
exactly.
Sanctimonious.
I know I like that Mike is a fast mover, because when was the last time Mike was in Oakdale?
Years ago.
Recast.
It wasn't no years
no,
ago.
They just had one, because it was a recast. Because
he was with Lily. He was with Lily for a minute, you know.
Well, it has to have been at least a year and a half ago.
I don't think it's been
because
a year.
Because almost the last year has been all this Damien stuff, because Damien came back last...
When did Dusty come back? Did he come back? He came back this year, right?
No, Dusty's been
back last year.
Last year.
Oh, well, that's when...
Mike
yeah.
hadn't been gone too long, and he done married and had a baby, and he's
the
a
hell?
Fast mover.
Wow.
Well, What did you, Jamie, on the Performer of the Week episode, you talked about a Jake Silberman's performance this last week. What do you think of the Noah storyline now that it's wrapping up as far as Forbes March is concerned? And now we have Noah's injured.
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised because I thought that Mason was going to cause, when I found out Noah was going blind, I thought, oh, great. The crazy gay man. We'll have to blind Noah. You know, I just knew that's what they do. So I was very glad to see that, you know, Noah's inability to handle pyrotechnics is what caused him to go blind and not, you know, Mason. But I think, look, I love Damian Grimaldi. That is so hood. And, you know, I love the fact that he's causing Luke problems by trying to help him. Because, that, look, he's like, I'm no longer homophobic. I love my son. I wish to support him. He's going to support him like a mobster would. He is going to get that man fired for messing with his son's boyfriend. I'm like, I'm feeling, I love Damian. I mean, Damian is the type of patriarch I like on soaps, not the one that sits up there. Yes, in real life, who wouldn't want Holden as a father to teach you about horses and yada, yada, yada. I want the father that's going to fuck somebody up for me.
Hell yeah.
You know? that's good stuff on soaps. So I'm like, I don't know what the problem is, Lily. Let the stable boy go.
Well, we could.
I know.
And how big is Snyder Farm? Lily's lawyer could get, look, in a divorce hearing, you have to be able to show that those kids are going to be, wherever they go, they're going to live in the same comfort as home. All Lily got to do is be like, I'm not letting my kids go over there because they're going to have to live in the woodshed in the back because you got Liberty, Janet, Jack,
Meg.
I know he's gone right now, but Meg and her baby. And so now who do want to bring all them other kids up in there?
Farmhouses are big, though. Farmhouses tend to be pretty big.
Look at here. I grew up in Texas. They don't farmhouse got no damn enough room for Holden and the three children.
See, where I come from, the farmhouses were big enough for that many people.
Luke stay over there, too, now, huh?
Well, they'd be out sleeping in the same room together with some rows of bunks. You know.
Good night, John boy. What the fuck?
We are Lucinda Walsh's grandchildren. We is not staying at that other grandmama's farm with
wait,
you.
So wait. So Holden got custody of the kid?
No, Cole
is threatened.
He's threatening it.
Oh, boy.
Sleeping, dumping, doping.
Because he doesn't want them around Damian. He doesn't want them
around Damian. Okay, Damian needs to put a hit out on him. Yeah, I said it. Get out of here, Holden.
Mel, we couldn't finish up discussing As the World Turns this last week without discussing Katie, Henry, and Brad. What'd you think?
That's the best story on the show right now because Terry Colombino is just murdering her heartbreak over Brad's death, and she's not really sure on how to take care of this baby. And when the baby was crying, and because she forgot the little teddy bear, I was like, oh, and Brad's still looking out for her, and he's dead. Like, I like it. I know it's like ghosts and supernatural things, but it's good. Like the way they're playing it out is it's being done well, and Trent Dawson is doing a great job. So I'm enjoying it.
Days of Our Lives this last week, Jamie. It's been so weird because Vivian's been back for like 2 weeks now, and you've been on the ABC podcast the last 2 weeks. So first, let's have you share your thoughts on Vivian's return.
Oh, you know, the first day I saw my girl with that big old feathered hat, I was just like, oh, Vivian, she made her put somebody in the ground. You know, oh my gosh, I am just on pins and needles because, you know, Vivian basically became a different character post Crystal Chappelle's first run on the show after she left. Vivian kind of from that storyline, the storyline that sent, okay, after Carly left with Lawrence, Vivian went to the Nut House where she met Laura Horton.
Mm-hmm.
They bonded over their, you know, dislike of Kate. And Vivian sort of became a comic character from that point on. You know, with all the, you know, stealing Philip embryo and all that kind of stuff. Everything she did beyond that was more a little cartoonish, and she lost that lethal Vivian edge. But from what, you know, I'm seeing, This is old school Vivian that's like out of blood because you've killed her precious Lartz.
They have such an inappropriate relationship in my book.
Well, they always do that. That's Oedipus. Ooh. You know, they always do that with these type of characters. I mean, look at the Cassidy boys in Helena. I mean,
we won't even go there with them freaking leads.
She is all about some Stavros. I mean, that's you know, that's Greek tragedy. But, you know, the Alamedes, remember, you know, it was the biggest joke in the old days because they never said what the Alamedes were, you know, and they
came from
a country called Alamania, you know, and it's like you just knew they were European, so we still don't know.
And they sounded like they came from sunny California. I'm like, the hell?
Sometimes, you know, it's like San Cristobal, too. I mean, it's funny that Crystal Chappelle, I thought that was funny the other day. I was thinking about that. I'm like, Crystal Chappelle has had to basically bring life to two fake like principalities in our lifetime. You know, God in Lightning was San Cristobal, and then, which there is a real San Cristobal, but that wasn't it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with Alamania. You remember when they all went to Alamania? But now Alamania is just a set in Burbank, but what can you do? So yeah, I enjoyed Days. I like the marital discord between Bo and Hope, even though it came from a stupid storyline as usual, a plot driven story. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying their acting. I'm enjoying Carly as a valid threat. I'm even enjoying the chemistry between Justin and Hope. I didn't think I would. I'm one of those Days fans that people complain about that I just usually don't want anybody after my fancy butt. But, you know, it's kind of good to see.
Hold up, though. You said before that you would like Hope to creep out on Bo. I mean,
I did, but I didn't think I'd want it with Justin because, you know, that's his cousin. And I mean, I just thought that it was just, it felt like at first when I read about it, I was like, okay, they don't have anybody else, so they'll just put her with Justin. Yeah. And there was never any real connection between Hope and Justin before, so I was like, where is this going to come from? But, you know,
imagine Thanksgiving with them? Hey, Hope, Justin, can you pass the carrots as well as pass some Hope along? You know, that is just so...
Yeah, I mean, it would just... You know, it's good in the fact that Bo and Justin have always had a rivalry, a friendly rivalry, but, you know, that's kind of a good thing. I don't see Hope and Carly being able to stay rivals long-term because essentially they're the same type of woman. They're both good women. So, you know, I think that eventually they're going to have to become like frenemies. You know, I'd love to see them bring back Mike Horton for Carly in the long run because that would keep her viable and make a Horton
here's a who?
Because, you know, making her a real Horton, you know, and there could be drama there. Maybe Hope's stepbrother David, you know, I mean, that
Didn't
would even
he
be.
Die?
No, David Banning's still alive.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, well, it's okay. David is Julie's son.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was dead.
No, he's not dead. Biologically, he is Hope's nephew, but he's also her stepbrother.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, them Hortons, they like to keep it in the family.
Mel,
dirty wasps.
Mel, this last, on the Performer of the Week episode, you gave a most improved to Taylor Spritler. What'd you think of the scenes with Carly and Mia, let's go discuss that for a bit.
Like I said on the Performer of the Week podcast, she got that Crystal Chappelle syndrome. She bitch Chappelle.
I like that.
You got in the scene with Crystal Chappelle, you automatically just got
Are you
got
sure
better.
Being Chappelle doesn't mean you get a big contract at Comedy Central and then you
and
freak
you
out?
Crack up.
Yeah. I smoke rocks. No, we're not talking about him. I love that show. But yeah, she was better. Just... Crystal, you know, what's her name on there? Carly. Carly came out of nowhere and she started defending Taylor after that boy was yelling at her, who gets on my last good nerve, Chad. But she was better in scenes with Crystal. She wasn't so I know my name. So
based on the lead up, there's a lot of speculation among readers on the blog as to whether or not you think that Mia is Carly's kid. Do you think she is?
It just looked like one of those writing on the wall things. It's just
It's a red herring.
I mean, it could be.
She won't be able to get with Will if she's... Well, wait a minute.
Yes, she will.
Well, is this supposed to be Bo's kid or Lawrence's?
I don't know.
If it's Bo's kid, she can't get with Will.
I don't know.
But she could. It couldn't be Bo's kid. I mean,
no, I don't think. I don't think. Yeah. You know what? I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking that the kid she was going to be looking for was like some would have been the age of, you know, how. Okay, what I'm saying is, I thought this kid would be like timed to when she left Salem. Like, so there could have been a is it Bo's or is it Lawrence's? But if it's Mia, well, hell. That can't be shit. I mean,
wait. So you're saying she can't be Mia because of the time frame?
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be Mia's, but then there's no way. I mean, it would have to be Lawrence's or maybe some stable boy or something. I don't know.
No,
Yvonne. And no, Carly would not let Yvonne hit Luke. She's not Vivian.
And I don't even think Vivian let Yvonne hit. Did she?
Oh yeah. When they left, they were together.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that was going to be my other question, Jamie. What do you think of not having him back?
Oh, I wasn't feeling it. And then having that other man call her Madame, I was like, uh-uh. No, don't make me go off like I did at Joe Masculo calling Kate Katarina now.
Okay,
you got to get Yvonne Garris back. However you say his name. You got to get him back. Vivian, she has to have her Yvonne. And she also needs Sammy and Lucas. I'm sorry. It's time to bring Brian Dottillo back because she needs her little henchman. Vivian, Sammy, Lucas need to be
signed. I would be in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Vivian and Sammy were hot.
Was right. This show, this is what it would be. One scene. Hello, Sammy. Vivian, what are you doing? I'm back to destroy Carly Manning. What are you doing? I'm going to destroy Nicole. I'll help you destroy Nicole if you help me destroy.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
And then they would tear it up. Paint by numbers. It ain't hard. They would tear it up.
Well, Sammy, you know, and Sammy will be like, she's trying to take my Uncle Bo away from my Aunt Hope. And she'll be like, oh, no. You know how Sammy does.
Riley showed it was not hard. Get them ratings up. What you know, they're doing that nowadays. But God had put them together. Let them help each other out.
Oh, well, I mentioned in the last podcast or when Jillian and Mel were on, I think that they're sort of setting it up because Kate was like helping Nicole in some ways a couple weeks back. She says, I mean, she was basically letting Nicole go on the run with the kid. It's like, okay, maybe they're laying the groundwork for Kate and Nicole versus Sammy and Vivian.
Oh, that's the shit, I'm telling you.
Oh, Sammy, it would be.
Sammy and Lucas and Vivian used to tear it up. Remember when
don't go here. Now I'm starting to get excited. Just
don't. Vivian the one who told Sammy to handcuff Franco outside or some shit like that? Was it Vivian who told Sammy to do that?
Vivian and Yvonne knew all about Sammy being pregnant, and they were trying to find Sammy before her folks could. I mean, they were always in mess together.
That's when
Allison really learned how to be an actress, when they started putting her in scenes with Louise Sorrell. Because that's before the Chappelle, there was the Sorrell.
There you go.
Now that's the title of the episode. Before there was a Chappelle, there was a Sorrell.
She taught all those little Lakens how to act on Santa Barbara. Jill, what's her name? The one that went on to be Dominique. General Hospital. She couldn't act when she first got on Santa Barbara. See, I remember. That's why I go easy on these youngsters, because I can count you 15 superstars right now that couldn't act their way out of a paper bag when they joined the show, and most of them all in my life.
That chick couldn't act on GH, who played Dominique DeMiso.
Mel, this last week, Sammy found out. Rafe revealed the truth to her, and now she is on her way to get her baby back.
Ooh,
what do you think?
She was so hood with hers. Rafe told her, and she finally clicked. She was like, that heifer got my baby. Oh, hell no. Where's Nicole? I'ma find her. Where's she at? I can't wait till next week, though. That's when it's going to be on and popping.
See,
y'all saw that preview. She slapped Nicole.
She slapped her, but I'm a little bit concerned because it's like I'm really hoping, because Jamie's pointed this out in the podcast before, where the storyline has been so segmented. The slapping scene appeared to be in the apartment, so there wasn't really very many people around.
Oh, Lord.
This kind of reveal should have been at, like, some big party or something. So I'm really hoping it's good and makes up for the fact that there won't necessarily be a ton of people around.
Hey, she just slapped her twice in the face. I'm
down
for it. She
popped up. Pop! I was like, yes!
It was good.
Yeah, I know.
Nicole,
she popped her like she was a disobedient child.
She popped it like it's hot.
No.
Sammy was fixing to beat Nicole like she stole something. So it was gold.
You tell me, I'm gonna make you tell me.
It was a runaway slave.
Okay, it was Sydney is my baby. No, smack.
Look at her. Sammy need to go pop up. Look, well, now they don't know the truth, do they? Nicole what? Chloe and all them don't know.
No, Chloe, wait, did it happen where Chloe or Rafe told? No, that's going to happen next week. Mm-hmm. Rafe gets the baby, and Chloe, at first, Chloe wants to try to get Hood. No, you can't take it. He's like, look, and he breaks it down, and she's like, that's not true. And then when it clicks in Chloe's little mind, she's
like, she ought to have a flashback to Nicole putting that nasty stuff on her.
Oh my God, I can't believe she did that.
I can't. Days is so much better, but every time I see them in friendship scenes, I want to fast forward because I that Chloe is friends with this girl.
Sammy is friends with Nicole, and she, like I told y'all, Sammy can be loyal to who she want to be loyal. She hated Nicole because Nicole broke her twin's heart. She was like,
I can buy her being friends without her knowing the truth about that baby.
I can
Sammy
buy that.
And Nicole being friends are a lot easier to buy than Nicole and Chloe. There's no way Nicole would be friends with this girl who puts flesh-eating bacteria on a scalpel that was going to be used to perform a surgery on her face. I'm sorry, you do not come back from that.
I get that they want to have them all have some sort of friendship outside of males, but that was just That's bad.
They had Belle and Chloe not able to forgive each other over Philip and Sean, but you know, you can forgive this hoe was going to have you looking like, you know, the Joker.
That's Dina. Dina escaped from that room. Put her back in there. Put her back in there. Let her play with a ball of yarn or whatever it is she play with.
I don't know why they still have her. If you notice in the interviews, people are starting to thank Scott Hamner for everything. Somebody, I can't remember which magazine I read it in, but there was
Scott
like an article.
Hamner?
I mean, not Lord, I'm sorry. Gary Tomlin.
That's why the show started.
I meant Gary Tomlin. And it's like, people know who the reason is. I don't care if Kim Cordae got the money to pay Dina Higley to sit around there and look at the shoddy ball, hey, more power to him.
But they did it at the Emmys. They did it, what's her face? Your girl, Tamara was like, I like to thank Gary Tomlin and Ed Scott. I was like, damn, Ed Scott, big God. I'm like, that must be egg on your face.
Ed was going to be a good producer for that
show.
Yeah, he was.
He
let himself get caught up in that. Bad mojo, but especially behind Dina Higley. But, you know, you can't let actors be hijacking the script, not officially. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, people are going to do their ad-libbing and stuff, but you just can't have actors just rewriting dialogue and other people's dialogue and all that. I mean,
yeah,
because
I was like,
why do people don't play that? They don't play that, and they shouldn't play that. Because writing it is like, and plus, if something's bad, you got the writer getting blamed for it when it's, you know, Sally's party pants and they're doing it.
Well, I was a little bit disappointed behind that because we all know Ed Scott is a good EP. I'm like, mm-hmm. That made me mad. I was like, dang, Ed Scott, why you do that? Then we got this thing on here.
Final thought, Jillian.
My final thought is there needs to be an earthquake in Genoa City. Yes, I know it may not be possible, but there needs to be one. And then Mac and Ash Toria disappear, and then you see someone else is Ash Toria, and you see Eden Regal as Mac, and then we have a fucking ball game. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I tried with Clem, but I can't. Clem is not cutting it, and that casting director needs to have their hands smacked when they come with someone else as a casting idea, because she stinks. She needs to go.
Mel?
My final thought is, as the world turns, you need to get back on track, get it back together, because y'all are starting to jump the shark.
Honey, they don't jump that shark.
Story, and then Jack was helping Benjamin Franklin off the roof.
Oh, shut up.
Take the wheel, Chris Gautman. Stop it.
Jamie, final thought?
My final thought's a little bit more positive about As the World Turns. I've been wanting to write about it for a while. It's really impressing me, but as my girl Mel just said, you'll lose all the momentum you've built with these shenanigans. This is not the time for that. You're doing so good with some stuff. Please don't revert to shenanigans. Don't do it.
You see what happened when Ellen did that? Ellen got a pink slip, and it was too late.
Chris Gautman, you put a baby in a tree in another world, and it was over. And if you have Tom Pelfrey running around making people turn young and old, you're going to turn this show.
Oh my God! Is he the new show killer?
Nina, Tazler, whatever her name is, go on ahead and get Rowan and Martin to do a new laugh in As the World Turns time slot, because that's what it's gonna be, hosted by somebody who was on Who's That Liner? That funny
line. Whose line is it anyway?
Whose line is these people ain't funny to me? I never understood what the big deal about them was. They sitting up here looking like drunk uncles at a party.
JB, where could they find you on Twitter?
You can't. I have my own social networking site called Jamie Jimmy Jujuba. Oh, no.
What the hell is Jimmy Jujuba?
Religion. It's my religion. Do not make fun of my religion.
His priest is Jar Jar Binks.
Persecutor.
You are just retarded. What is wrong with you?
www.twitter.com/ Jamie_Kittens.
Mel,
right next to Vanilla. Yeah, right next to Vanilla Sunrise.
Mel, where can they find you on Twitter?
I don't discriminate. You can all get sunrises.
I don't mean you as Vanilla Sunrise, fool. It's Luke.
And it's sunshine.
Oh, open your mind, Jillian. Oh my God, do you own it like vanilla?
Mel.
You're not stuck in the wrestling.
Mel, where can they find you on Twitter?
Chocolate sunshines can be nice too.
No, what is it? Sunshine, Luke? Shit, I don't forget the name.
It's sunshine. It's vanilla sunshine.
There you go.
Mel, where can they find you on Twitter?
Okay, what's up? Stop laughing.
I had some Asian sunshine once.
Oh my God! It is a play on my nickname for Luke Fool. Oh!
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/ Melody Akels. MelodieAikels.
Jillian, where can they find you on Twitter?
twitter.com/ Jillian Bo. I take the good and the bad when people tweet with me.
Chocolate sunshine.
And Daytime Confidential has an official Twitter profile at twitter.com/ DC Confidential. We're over 2,600. We're trying to hit 3,000, so add us.
We are?
Yes, we are.
And CBS will take a pilot. Y'all gave that boy shit. My dad says a deal. We will do a Daytime Confidential TV show for y'all.
Can you imagine how that would go?
We'd be hot. We do it. Like, put us on SoapNet for real. It's not like it's SoapNet there anyways.
We'll have to start watching Me and Erica, Bank of My Mom and Dad, and Steve Martin from the 80s, but hey!
Hey, they want to pay a sister. I watch it today.
And you ain't never lied. Brian Frost sent me a check. I say, Luke, you stop talking about ABC, you bastard, you!
Me? He probably sent you the check to shut you up.
I'll be like,
that's what I'm saying. I'll be like, I don't know why he talk about y'all the way he do, Mr.
I'll be like, you know, Jillian, what did you think of All My Children? It was epic. It was phenomenal.
It was terrible.
You know?
My Twitter profile is twitter.com/Luke_sunshine. And we would encourage you to comment on this episode at
Willa is talented. You shut your mouth, Jillian Bo.
Email us at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Until next time, so long.
It is a great actress.
Oh, get out of here! Hell no.
Uber Bloom's hair is gorgeous!
Oh, Clementine Ford is a
She is going to bring the Ogilvy home for a bit.
Is savior of soaps.
Oh, I would say that. Amelia Hanley is the next Meryl Streep.